You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
You are listening to episode 18 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I am your host, Dione Morales. I'm going to say that again. I just squeaked on the word host. I am your host, Dione Morales, and I am joined by Gold Leader, Ron Longhi.
Hello, everybody.
Our targeting coordinator, Andrea Longhi.
Hola.
And our historian and flavor judge, Alex Merring, will join us later. Now, you might notice that my voice sounds a little funny. I'm getting over something, a cold or a flu, or I have no idea. But I'm going to do my best to sound acceptable for this broadcast.
We got you.
Bubonic plague never killed anyone, right?
No, exactly.
You're good.
First thing I want to do is a quick Patreon update. Today is January 9th when we're recording. I opened up 30 more slots for our Patreon because we're going to be adding some more swag soon. And let's talk about the next wave of swag. Andrea designed some awesome target locks for us. I'm currently getting pricing and seeing how many episodes is that going to be worth. But I'm super excited for it. I've posted a preview of them on our Patreon page.
Oh, did and like you?
I sure did. And people really liked them.
Good.
Yeah, so 30 more spots are open. Last time I looked, a few of them already got taken. So the sooner you jump on that, the better. Because there's already been a couple people being like, oh man, I wish I would have jumped on because you guys are doing cool stuff. Here's your chance. 30 more slots. We're going to be doing a couple more alt art cards, of course, and just, you know, more cool swag. And just another quick thing, our Paul LaRue 2-card set, it is in, and coming up today, I believe, this episode will be the 6th episode for people to meet the requirements to get the 2-card set. But because of how Patreon works, you won't be charged for this episode until February 1st. So once all those charges go through, whoever's cleared and has reached that 6th episode mark, I will be sending out your 2-card set, which is going to be awesome. So today we have two main topics. We had an exciting preview today, which is the Scum Epic ship we've been waiting for. And we're going to be talking about Gold Squadron's experience and results at the Outrider Cup 5.
Unlock the hologram.
So, guys, it's here. The mystery of SWX-58 has been solved, and we are getting a Scum Epic ship, and it's supposed to be here somewhere January through March. First quarter is what it says.
Assuming it's not trapped on a boat somewhere.
I mean, the way I look at this, I mean, I'm assuming they've been working on this for a long time. Like, maybe they're planning on dropping it with the Wave 10 ships?
I don't think so, but they haven't historically dropped any epic ships with anything else because of their high dollar value, I think. So I don't know about that, but I mean, maybe.
All right, well, let's look at some of the things that were shown in the article. And what I did is I went with my magnifying glass and I zoomed in as much as I could and tried to decipher as much as I can for you guys. So let's start to break it down. So we're getting the Sea Croc Cruiser. Andrea, can you give me some stats on that?
Okay, so our new Scum Epic ship, it has a pilot skill of 1. It has 4 energy, 0 agility, and then it has 10 hull points, as well as 4 shields.
So we got actually a couple really good actions. The first action is recover, which allows you to recover shields. The next action is reinforce, which gives you 1 evade for each attack. Then target lock, which is interesting, and jam.
And then when you look at the cost, it only costs 35 points for this epic ship. You compare that to the Gazanti class cruiser, which I think is its closest brethren. you are losing a pilot skill, but the health is about the same. You're trading trading a hole for a shield, but the Gazanti is 40 points.
Yeah, and the upgrade slots are very similar between those two ships as well.
Yeah, to me, it definitely seems like the Sea Rock Cruiser just might be a little bit more of an upgrade over the Gazanti class. I feel like the Gazanti is good, maybe I think they want to push this to be a little bit better so it sees a little more play.
A little bit more competitive epic ship?
Yeah, I feel like they got the CR-90 right. That thing's powerful. The Rebel Transport's pretty good. It's cheap and annoying. And I think just maybe a couple points less and then a few more upgrades possibilities. It definitely has two more upgrade possibles than the Gazanti, right? Is I seeing that correct?
Just one
more, yeah.
Oh, just one more, okay. But yeah, still, but then an extra
there's a title card that adds another one, too, so it's... Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there for sure. So, packaged with this... Is it going to be called the Croc Cruiser, you think?
I think so. I think everyone's going to call it the Croc.
Right, so packaged with the Croc, we have a M3A Interceptor.
Woohoo.
So, maybe not the ship you were hoping for, but maybe that means, because I know some people were thinking like, oh, we're going to get a Star Viper or a Kirax, and they're going to fix those ships. But maybe, who knows, maybe FFG is saving that for later. And this is only the first Scum Epic ship, so they have to save something for the second.
This will be my sixth M3A Interceptor, so hopefully that'll make me not regret those five other purchases.
Well, let's look at some of the upgrades. So if you're looking at your kind of like your card fan, I'm gonna start at the top row of cards, and we're gonna break each one down for what we can see. I was able to decipher some of the pictures for old cards we have. Let's get started. Now you said this is gonna be your sixth M3A, well, in that very top row, you're getting six copies of the Light Seek Interceptor title card. What does that do, Ron?
Well, it's a title for -2 points, so that's good. But attached with it, it gives you basically the major hull breach critical effect, saying all damage cards dealt to you are face up. And then you may treat all bank maneuvers as green. You cannot equip any modification upgrades as well.
So you're getting really only two green maneuvers, right? Because the one and two bank are already green.
Right.
It's just adding the three bank green.
I'm lukewarm on this card. So I was trying to think about it, trying to see what's really good about it. I get that -2 points is nice. It puts, the cheapest sick at the same cost as Academy Pilot.
For one more pilot skill.
For one more pilot skill, correct. The downside is I don't see you getting a benefit from the three bank that often. I very rarely see that ever coming into play. And the downside of the major hull breach attached to it is kind of nasty.
I mean, it's not that hard for someone to roll a hit and a crit and have that come through on an attack. And if you end up with that direct hit, or you might get unlucky with that, I can't remember the name of it, but it requires you to roll a die and on a hit suffer a damage. I mean, you've got some odds of taking effectively two hits with one critical, and then this thing is just gone.
Well, no, every damage that's dealt to it is a crit.
I understand, but if you were dealt a hit crit, and then the first one was a shield, the second one was the crit that requires you to roll a die to take another damage, potentially. So between the direct hits and two copies of that card, that's 9 cards out of 33 that deal 2 damage. I mean, that's a big percentage of cards that could effectively one-shot the ship very quickly and easily.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not really sure. Because, the first crit doesn't matter because you have a shield. The second crit, if it's a direct hit, it's going to kill you. But a direct hit would kill you anyways, regardless of whether or not this title was equipped. Yeah. So really, it's all the other crits that kind of matter.
Right. But I mean, you also would have to roll the crits naturally as opposed to just having them dealt to you face up automatically.
Right. Right. It's basically turning on all the other crit cards in the deck, which is kind of nasty. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Dion? Do you think this is a good card?
That face-up damage card is really any time you get a damage card. So, I mean, not a super likely situation, but if you have Wampa, if you Wampa a Light Seek Interceptor, that's a crit.
Yeah. Anytime this thing takes damage, it's... So, really, all these six are basically going to take one critical hit every time you play them. And because the second one obviously doesn't matter. If you take two damage, you're dead. So it's one thing you have to realize that when you're playing this ship with this upgrade, every game, it's probably going to take a crit. So like Andrew was saying, seven of the times you're going to take that direct hit and just be dead. The other times is you're going to be dealing with a nasty crit.
I mean, one of the only things I can kind of think of is... if we look at the card fan for the M3As, there are some new pilot skills there, which maybe there's a unique pilot or two that, I don't know, can do something for that reduced cost, makes their ability really valuable, and maybe it doesn't suffer crits or it's able to, like, ditch damage or something. I have no idea, but...
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. It just... This doesn't screen to me anything like... than other negative title cards that we've gotten in the past, like A-Wing 1 or the Ty-X 7.
Oh, yeah, and this is nothing compared to Ty-X 7.
I don't think this card is going to do anything to make 6 be competitive.
I mean, at most, what, you can fly 8 of these, I believe, in a swarm with Light Seek Interceptors.
Yeah.
But with TLT out there, swarms aren't very good.
Yeah, I mean,
and you're making TLTs
what swarm
hit on crits?
Has really done well other than, like, I guess B-Wing Swarm is still kind of playable, right? Other than that, I mean, there's no playable Imperial Swarms.
Yep, and that is that the TIE Fighter has a better dial than the Sick Interceptor.
Yeah, it does. Well, yeah, it does. It definitely does. It has a better dial, and it, you know, it doesn't take a crit every time it takes a damage.
Yeah, we'll have to see what people do with it. Maybe it's just a filler ship.
Yeah. I mean, TLT is like just a nightmare against this card.
Yeah, you're making it hit, you know, deal a crit. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, one TLT and you're dead. So I get it. Maybe they do something with TLT. I mean, I don't know. I'm just spitballing. I think the card's okay. I don't think it's competitive, in my opinion.
Yep, I'm in full agreement with you, at least for right now. We'll see. I'm sure somebody is looking at this card who loves Sick Interceptors and maybe is cracking the code right now, but I'm not seeing it either.
I had some love for them. That's why I was stupidly bought 5 of them, but I don't think this is going to make me want to bring them out of my case to play.
Not yet. Well... there are more cards in here, right? So if we look at the center row of cards, we have 6 copies of something. It says Arc, something else, and it looks like it has an attack header. So I don't know.
Well, there's supposed to be 6 copies of the title card in here for the Sick that gives you, like, it's just like the regular Sick title card.
Right, at least in the fan right now, they actually only show one of them.
Oh, okay. All right, they do show it.
Yeah, there's one of them. It is the 8th card from the left in the bottom row of upgrade cards, the heavy Sick title.
Okay.
Yeah, so who knows what that card's going to be. I mean, if it's a cannon, or I don't know if you can equip it to a Light Seek Interceptor. Who knows? But there's 6 copies of that and 6 copies of the Light Seek Interceptor, so maybe they jive together. I don't know. And then after that, you know, again, more magnifying glass work. There's two copies of something that says SU, and then the second line is P something. Then there's another copy of, I have no idea. The letters are way too conjumbled to see. But then there is another interesting one. There's another upgrade card after that in this center row that says IG something. Are we getting another IG crew card?
Yep, maybe it's not a crew card. Maybe it's a team member.
Oh. Like, so something epic only. That could be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have A, B, C, and D already.
Yeah.
In the game. Yeah, that could be cool. After that, we have a spoiled Croc Cruiser only weapon here. It's the heavy laser turret. Give me some stats on that, Andrea.
So it requires you to spend 2 energy from this card to perform this attack against a ship, even a ship outside of your firing arc. It is a 4 dice attack, and it is a range 2-3.
And it costs you 5 points. I mean, epic 4 dice shot, that's pretty good.
That card's fantastic, in my opinion. That's kind of something that, like, the other ships don't really have, or, like, they didn't have. Like, when the CR-90 came out and the Raider came out, their issue was there wasn't good, like, secondary weapons for them to fire. So they would just get smoked by regular ships. But then they came out with ordnance tubes, and now they just shoot missiles everywhere. This is good. This is like, okay, we're gonna do something different. We're just going to give you a good secondary weapon to shoot out of this cruiser. Kind of like they did with the Gazanti, giving that thing a turret. I think it's good.
If you look at the cost, it's 5 points. It brings it up to the 40 points of the Gazanti. But the Gazanti doesn't even have a weapon at 40 points. So maybe at the epic scale, I mean, this might be crazy, you just put on that turret and you go gung-ho.
I mean, honestly, like, what is the turret that came on the Gazanti? What did that cost?
It's also 5 points.
It's 5 points. Okay, that's what I thought.
Then our next card that we have there, we have a crew card, Cicatro Visago. He is a scum-only crew card, so that means you can use him in 100 point. It says, at the start of the end phase, you may discard this card to replace a face-up illicit or cargo upgrade you have equipped with another upgrade card of the same type of equal or lesser squad points. And he costs 0 points. Only the, basically you're putting him in that crew slot. That is really cool. This is the first time in X-Wing where we get a sideboard.
Yeah, and if people don't know what a sideboard is, a sideboard is a term that came from Magic where it basically is game cards that you could access outside of the game and replace with cards that you brought to the game.
Yeah, I mean, so in a Scum Epic list, I know I always struggle between, should I bring Inertial Dampeners?
Or Glitterstem.
Or Glitterstem. And then, right now, if you have an open crew slot on, let's say, a YV-666, for 0 points, you can have that choice. You see your opponent's list, and you go, I'm going to swap that out. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. So, it's interesting, you'll be bringing, like, all of your little illicit upgrades with you to the table in case you want to switch them out.
Yeah. And then, Ron, let's do our next crew card there.
The next crew card is as Morgan. He's a huge ship only, scum only, 2-point crew member. Very similar ability, but instead of discarding him, at the start of the end phase, you may spend 1 energy to replace a face-up crew member or team member upgrade card you have equipped with another upgrade card of the same type of equal or fewer squad points. I absolutely love this card.
Yes. It's really cool. You get some opportunity to swap out some team members in your Scum Epic build. I mean, that's That's pretty amazing.
I mean, you could look at your opponent's build and be like, oh, this crew member doesn't do anything. Let me swap it to something that does.
Zuckus, go home. Come here, Forlom.
Yeah, that's so cool. Like, I mean, one of the ways to counter someone's list is to build a list that negates their upgrades, and this kind of prevents that from happening.
I love that. That's so
awesome. Not to mention, both of these characters are from the Rebels Clone Wars era, which is awesome.
Yeah, and then I'm pretty sure this ship, right, comes straight out of Star Wars Rebels?
I thought it was Clone Wars. I thought this was the pirate ship.
We'll have to do some research on that, but yeah, I mean, it's a really cool ship. And I know we've seen Asmorgan in Rebels.
Yeah. He was really, Asmorgan's been in Rebels since season one.
And lastly, we have the big man himself, Jabba the Hutt. Now, we can't see what his card says, but if you look at the kind of the where that tiny, limiting text is, it says scum only. It does not say huge ship only, so that means we're going to be able to see him in 100 point. And, I mean, let's be real. We're assuming he's two crew slots, right? Because he's big guy.
I sure hope he's two crew slots. If Palpatine takes two seats, this guy better take a bench.
So right now, that means if he's two crew slots, he fits on the Houndstooth. Is there any other scum? Oh, and he'll fit on the Croc, of course. Where else? Does he fit anywhere else right now?
Nope.
Well, we'll see. We'll have to see what his ability does.
So maybe he won't have two crew slots.
Or maybe he will. They're planning on releasing scum ships.
Yeah, he might not. I mean, the double crew slot for Palpatine, honestly, was more of a balance reason than anything else. But Palpatine was still really good. It was to limit what ships he could be put on, so. I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
maybe
he definitely
he's gonna have a crazy ability or something.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be interesting. They just, this is kind of off, sort of off topic, but they just released, in Imperial Assault, they just released Jabba the Hutt, and he is insane.
I know, he's pretty good in Destiny, too, so...
He's good in Destiny. He's, like I said, in Imperial Assault, he might be the new Tier 1, I'm going to be on the table everywhere piece.
Cool. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see what his ability is. I'm sure with him being such a popular character, they'll probably, spoil his ability sometime soon.
Yeah, I hope so. Here's what gets me interested. So, like, in Imperial Assault, he could spend, like, one of the currencies in the game, like no one else can. He could spend his victory points to do things. And if you notice, there are little, looks like, credit, like the illicit symbol. There are little credit tokens that come in this game. I wonder if those tokens are for Jabba.
Oh, maybe. And there's a lot of them, too.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. So I'm wondering if that would be a special token for Jabba that you're spending, like, currency of his to do things for abilities. Because that would seem the most thematic way to use him.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Awesome. You're getting me excited. Jabba the Hutt. Then if we look at the bottom row, we're getting a bunch more cards, we're getting five copies of something that says PU something something. We have no idea. Interesting. Not six copies like of the other cards we had above, but five copies of this. We have a copy of Automated Protocols. You could just tell by the side picture there. It's an epic. It's not a new epic card. It's one you have already in your binder. We're getting a copy of Optimized Generators.
Yep.
That one copy of the corrected Heavy Sick title. Just one. At least that's what the picture shows. And
Is that the original one that they just eroded?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're supposed to get six of those.
Yeah, well...
In the article, that's what it said.
On the picture, it only shows one, so maybe the light stick interceptor is dual-sided card or something?
Who knows? Or maybe they just got the picture wrong, like they got the other picture wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead and tell people what that was in case they didn't see that.
Yeah, so they posted a picture of the sick on its base, but the base they posted was Imperial. So a lot of people are like, wait a minute, this is the wrong base. And then they quickly changed it.
And then lastly, in that bottom row, there are three what look like title cards for this epic ship. And the one that is spoiled is titled the Merchant One. It gives you +1 energy for the ship. It is Croc Cruiser only. And it says your upgrade bar gains one additional crew slot upgrade icon and one additional team upgrade icon and loses one cargo upgrade icon. So you get two points. You're getting another crew, another team, and you just lose one of those cargo slots.
Yeah, and you've already got three, so.
That seems really good, actually.
That does.
Crew members and team members seem like they have more of an impact on the ship than the cargo slot, but I could be wrong.
So we have the party bus. Does this become the party barge?
Yeah.
Right? You could totally do Dengar, Forlom, and Zuckuss on this thing with your heavy laser turret.
It's the party barge going to be carrying around Jabba the Hutt.
We'll have to see. And just like you said, tokens that might matter that we see there, we see some no fire tokens. Not sure what that's going to be about. I don't know. Maybe it has something. I have no idea. What card here needs a no fire token?
It could easily just be one of the cards we don't know about, so.
That's very true. We see those illicit tokens, and we have some, like, new epic debris or something like that. Do you see that in that right
corner?
Yeah,
I don't know what that is. Yeah, maybe it's more debris tokens.
Maybe. Because it doesn't have any type of, like, dropping, like, nubs or anything like that, so I don't know. Yeah.
It's hard to speculate on the tokens. I mean, some of the tokens could just be for whatever the campaign mission that it comes with is.
That's true, yeah. Like, those hyperspace circle ones, those were in the Jumpmaster one too for some of the missions, so we'll have to just wait and see. But yeah, that's that is the Sea Croc article. Interesting, I was looking at some of the comments when we posted the pictures, and one of our followers, Sean Sorensen, he put there, I will be severely disappointed if we don't get a Hondo crew card. And I'll be honest, when I looked at all these things, I don't think there is one. But who knows? Maybe, you know what? This is only our first epic ship. This totally leaves open a possibility for a second epic ship that has Hondo. I mean, we got as Morgan, his kind of like, not necessarily partner in crime, but more like maybe rival in crime, right, is Hondo. Yeah. So
I mean, they jumped, they did one mission together in the latest season.
I love the paint job and the sculpt. I love the cargo on the side. I mean, it looks really good.
Agreed.
And look at that firing arc on the front half. It's just like, it reminds me of the slaver. It's just like, oh, half of my base, I'm gonna shoot you.
Om nom 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 nom. Now, do you think this is enough for? You know, we did get to play some epic at Outrider, and we'll talk about that more in our Outrider segment. Do you think we're going to get an epic rules update with this ship being released?
Huh, that's a good point. I mean, I think we'll get one at some point. Maybe after it's released. I don't think maybe immediately. But I think we really need one. The epic rules, how long has it been since they've been actually updated?
It's been some.
I feel like it's been years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're at very least gonna have to update the huge ship rules because that's gonna be inside of the packaging. We'll have to see for the epic tournament rules.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we just get like an epic rule book with this ship. That would just be amazing.
All right, so this is Dio Morales, and we have a special out-of-studio session here today. We are talking with some of my Outrider teammates, Brandon and Rick. How are you guys doing today?
Doing all right.
I also am doing all right.
Excellent, guys. So we performed average, I would say. You know, I think the people at Outrider were telling us like, "Oh, you guys did such a great job. First time we did third," but we were like, "No, damn it, we were supposed to win."
Yeah, we only got 10 points, so you know, 1 point a game, so that's 10 wins. One was a double point game, so really we had 9 wins out of our 18 matches. So we were 500.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's not good.
But yeah, it was definitely a fun matchup. Rick, tell me about maybe what was your favorite thing about the Outrider?
I love having the opportunity to play Epic. I love Epic, and it was great being that it was just one game.
Yep.
A little rushed with it being Epic and then trying to eat lunch in the middle of the game, but it is what it is.
Of course.
But no, you know, here at Pastimes, I won the Epic League, so like I just wanted to play Epic.
For
and
sure.
And then I was hoping that I wouldn't suck for the other two games, which were, you know, just normal 100-point match.
All right. What about you, Brandon?
I love praying on weaker lists. So the whole placing and pairing strategy was amazing because I could just take stuff that just obliterates a certain list.
Right.
And then just not even have to worry about, like, skill. It's just like I trumped you at the list building.
So maybe what was one of your favorite matchups that did that?
It was Chirino, uh-huh, with Vader and Hotshot Cop.
Hotshot Copilot.
Gunner against the Whisper, who died in the first shot.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing. Vader for that direct hit.
All right. So so you brought three lists, right?
Yes.
We brought three lists. We all needed one epic list and 200-point list. Maybe just quickly go over what list did you bring.
My epic list was extremely lazy. It was a bunch of TLTYs and three scouts. And Andrew with his cluster missiles and Glitterstim and Predator and all that stuff.
Right.
My second list was Rear Admiral Chirino. He had Hotshot Cop. I don't even know if I'm saying that card right. What is it?
Hotshot Copilot?
Hotshot Copilot. What else did he have? Predator, Engine, Vader, Gunner. And then I had Riad with Juke and the title. And then Twin Ion.
Uh-huh.
Third list I had was Dash with a whole bunch of Dash stuff. Expertise. I didn't run the usual Dash. I did Expertise. Lebo. I don't know what else I had.
Funky Dash.
Funky Dash. And Miranda. With homing missiles and
just explode your face, Miranda.
R2-D2 crew, yeah.
I like it. What about you, Rick? What'd you run?
All right, so for the first match, I ran a missile Raider. And with 5 accuracy corrector tie advanced. And then for the second and third match, I was supposed to have Scum. I had a hard time finding lists, so I gave up and brought 4 TLT Y-Wings with Unhinged.
Okay. Twice.
And we decided, you know what? We're going to do this. It's not the easiest list for anyone to build against. So my list was one that got placed. Both those lists got placed on the table. So I got to play whatever person thought they could beat me.
Right. Actually, you know what? Before we go too far, can you explain how the Outrider format worked with the placing and pairing, Jazz?
Yeah. So there were 6 teams of 6 people. So at the start, everyone put down their list for Epic. So you had 36 lists on the table. You got to go around, look at everyone's list, kind of figure out maybe what you would do. And then they would ask you to pick up 3 of the lists. So you would take 3 of your lists back, and those are ones that you can now place against other teams. And then you leave 3 lists out there for your opponents to choose against. So what we decided on for Epic is we picked up our 3 lists that had Epic ships in it and left our 3 lists that didn't have Epic ships down on the ground. So that way maybe we could try to get a little bit more favorable matchup with our Epic ships.
Yeah, I mean, it was tons of fun. You and me, Rick, we were the captains. And
it was pretty funny to see people just kind of looking around, but you and I, we took the kind of the studious route, right? We wrote down every single list, at least the idea of them, and went around and crossed them out. I like the way we went about it.
Yeah, I mean, the one idea was let's write them all down, and then all of a sudden half of them disappear, so quickly cross them out, and then you're allowed to go consult with your team. So the idea was, okay, we know here are the 18 lists that are left, and you don't count ours, so there's 15 lists, and then it's like, hey, you know, Brandon, I think you have the squishiest list. Which of these couple, you know, do you like? Oh, I like this matchup and this matchup. Then we went and talked to someone else and kind of had an idea. So we were a little slow the first round, but then usually we were very fast making all the rest of the picks because we would already have it know what we wanted.
Right, right. So maybe what, Brandon, what was one of the matchups that you – so we talked about one that you liked already. You got Chernow with Hotshot Copilot against Whisper and Ader for breakfast. What was maybe a matchup that you got that you were like, that didn't work so good?
That was my epic list. I got paired with, 18 Crackshot ties and Hot Runner and a whole bunch of other named ties.
But the crazy thing is that you didn't lose that game.
Well, I did lose it.
Technically, you lost it, but you didn't give up a point.
Right, right.
For that, right? Oh, yeah. So the big thing, or another thing about the Outrider Cup is they still use the 12-point is a full win format. So what happens is when you win a game, you earn 1 point toward your team. Now, if you if your win is less than 12 points, you have to – you do what's called a skin. So now your game is in the next round is worth 2, and your opponent's game in the next round is worth 2. So Brandon's game then in that first epic round got passed to Rick, right? Got passed – no? What happened?
So Brandon passed his game on to Darwin.
Okay.
Who we thought would have a very favorable matchup. And then the guy that flew the Thai FO and Thai Swarm against Brandon and Epic decided that he thought he could beat my 4 TLTs. So that my game was worth double as well. Actually, it was worth 3 points. So one of the teams was short a player. So Kentucky was short a player. So then what happened is if any time someone got paired against their ghost list, that team got to choose to make another game worth more. So Latrobe decided to make this game worth 3 points. So there was a lot on the line for that game for my 4 TLTYs against Apelp, Ryad, and Vessery.
Ooh, Commonwealth Defenders. That's a tough list. Now, this is something I was kind of thinking about as we were preparing for today. Now, Kentucky ended up in second place, right?
Yes.
Now, do you think... they did get the 1 point penalty, but do you think being able to double up a game every single round kind of gave them a 3 point swing? Because then they could just take their best player. Now I don't know exactly who took them for Kentucky, as we didn't end up at least I wasn't involved in any of their games. But do you think maybe there was a little bit of an advantage there because they didn't have the variable of a 6 player?
No, I think there's still the advantage of the 6th guy.
Okay.
I don't think that would really factor too much.
I don't know, just a thought I had.
So the way I look at it is unless – so you could possibly be playing the same team twice in a round. So you could choose to pair against someone and they can choose to pair against you. So unless people were not only pairing against Kentucky but then they paired themselves against Kentucky, so and then chose to make the Kentucky match worth 2. I don't know if Kentucky had it very easy in order to gain a lot more points. So I think they were at a disadvantage. They were third place, I think, going into the final round and then went out their final round.
Right. That's very true. They went 5-0. Well, 6-0 with that extra point.
So, I mean, my only opinion was, like, my second game was worth 3 points. I don't know if you really should be able to keep overloading games.
Okay.
When someone's missing. You know, I brought that up there, and apparently this might have been the first time it's ever happened where, you know, somebody was short a player. So, I mean, it's not supposed to happen. It just seemed goofy where the team got to pick to overload a game that they might have also placed, which meant they already had a greater odds going into the game. And now, you know, right. they have a chance of really, you know, taking lots of points and jumping ahead.
Right, especially with if you got a skin like yours, yours was a skin game plus an additional point. Yeah, that's what that can be some pretty big point swings there. Now, one of the things that happened in the first round, right, was a pairing error, right?
Yeah. So, for this event, everyone was supposed to. They were very adamant. Have your list in this specific format. One of the teams had five lists in one format and one in a different format. So during the pairings, they didn't notice that they set their second sheet down against the team, and they already had placed one, but they placed the goofy one. So then we got to the end, and all of a sudden they had two matches against the same person that they picked,
right.
which is illegal. And the rules say that illegal, if that happens, we need to completely redraft. So that kind of sucked because I think it took us about 45 minutes,
yep.
maybe an hour, to do that first round. It was very slow with Epic. You know, and it turned out that we also were paired against Kentucky and didn't have a match. And
yeah, so the blank, the Kentucky list that didn't have a person, so they kept that hidden each round, and we got paired against it. And we paired Darwin Schaefer. He's a really good player. You probably heard about him. He was top four in Hoth Open last year, and. He was visibly upset when he found out he didn't have that match. Now, if you can kind of go with me there, and we're there, and I'm feeling like crap. My cold medicine had not kicked in at all. I was just feeling like crap. And this was a blessing in disguise because Rick remembered those rules because he's like, oh, there was a pairing error. We got to do it all over again.
Yeah, I mean, it was two things, too. Is, you know, earlier we talked about how I tried to make a list and we crossed things out.
Right.
Well, one of the lists got numbered wrong, so I don't know if it was out of order or what. But one of the lists that Darwin said he would want to play, we crossed out, and then we were trying to figure out what to do. And, well, we ended up putting him against the Kentucky list, even though he's like, I should be able to beat it, but he kind of didn't want to go against Kentucky. And we're like, well, we'll just give it a shot. And it turned out the other list that he wanted was actually out there. So then
right.
I felt bad that I crossed it off and, like, I had a chance. Now he doesn't even have a game. But, you know, you have rules. These are the rules.
Yeah, you got to use them.
Maybe I'm a little crazy. I used to umpire baseball, so I'm very much these are rules. You have rules for a reason. So, you know, I pushed it, and then I actually got to pair Darwin against the matchup that he wanted to and the matchup that I could have even placed him against earlier if I didn't screw up with my notes.
And it worked out. And in the end, they ended up picking up that Kentucky matchup, and they actually paired it against my list. And thank the Lord, I got to relax and just kind of hang out and be sick in a chair while my medicine kicked in. And finally, by round two, I was feeling a lot better.
Yeah, and then we chose to take and let have Darwin have that two-point match to make up for that game that Dion's not playing. So he took his heavily loaded out Corvette missile boat.
That thing's disgusting.
Which was very disgusting. And he was able to pull a win with that for 2 points. I eked out a win. My missile boat Raider against 11 Sikhs with...
heavy laser cannons, right?
Four heavy laser cannons and seven Manglers. And it was looking a little grim, and then I popped three of them in one round, and all of a sudden he had one left, and I had Jonas and the Raider left.
Yep. So I was I remember specifically when I was like, all right, I started to feel a little better. I was like, I decided to look around at some of the games, and I walked by your games, by your table, and I'm looking at it, and there's all these ships pointed at his Raider, and I'm like, I don't think this is going well. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to walk away. I'm just going to walk away. Things will get better. And I came back, and Rick was like, oh yeah, I won. It was great.
Yeah, it was very close. I decided one time to turn the Raider instead of going straight. And in the end, I ran over my only perfectly healthy TIE Advanced. I came like within a millimeter of running over Jonas. And just barely missing one of the Sikhs as well. If I ended up would have just went straight, it would have ran over a Seek. All my guys would have been fine. I'm just very grateful I barely missed Jonas, or I would have been screwed.
Yeah, well, and he has to be at range one. That's, you know, some people, like one of the combos, right, is using Rourke to boost the Tantiv to PS12, but that's range 1 to 3. You're using Jonas, which has to be in range 1.
Yeah, and then I got a crit on Jonas saying if I do a white maneuver, it's get a stress. So then it was very hard because I wanted to, you know, take an angle and then barrel roll. And right. Angle and barrel roll. Well, now I can't do any of the white boost or the white turns,
right,
or banks. I had to do the green, so it was a little rough. And I almost miscalculated.
Well, you calculated correctly, and you won that game. So, Brandon, what would you say was the turning point in your epic game? Like, I'll be honest. Like, I saw, like, 10 TIE Fighters on the table, and you had, like, 3 Y-Wings left. Mm-hmm. And what? How'd you do that?
Well, I think it's just the green turns of the Y.
Right? Because you had Unhinged on it?
Yeah. You can just kind of, like, string all his TIE Fighters out, get good engagements at, you know, range 3, pop a few TIEs as his other TIEs sort of catch up. So, I mean, if you can kind of play some little shenanigans with the rocks,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you get some good turns, that'll balance it out real quick. Just string him out through the rocks and shoot.
Okay. Did he set up in, like, several formations? I'm just curious. I mean, with how many TIE Fighters? Was 18?
I think, yeah, 18.
How did he set that up?
I put all my guys in a line in my left corner with a blocker scout in front,
okay,
and behind. And I adaptability them both down to 2, so I had no bumping issues.
Okay.
And he set his guys up in, like, 3 kind of columns, left, middle, and right. And then, yeah, he 5-forwarded the guys that were farther away and then slowly banked them in. And then the middle guys kind of came up the middle. And then his named guys were all the way on the right, closest to mine.
Mm-hmm.
And he did some kind of, like, stalling effects because he thought I was going to go after them, which
right.
I did. So
yeah. Right. Kind of like a hard one, barrel roll backwards, right, kind of thing. Yeah. Cool. And that was Edward Horn of the Nova Squadron radio podcast.
I did not know that at the time.
You did not know that at the time.
So hello, Ed.
Yeah, it was a good game. It's interesting in this format how we were super pumped about the fact that you got that modified loss. Right? It was like,
right,
yo, yeah, we didn't lose that point. Let's try to get in the next round. It was interesting how this type of format takes. You know, we play together every week here at the store. And most of the time, you know, we're building against each other. Oh, I know how Brandon plays. I know how Dion plays. So we kind of, we've gotten, I don't want to say used to each other, but we're always trying to best each other, right?
Right.
But in this format, we were able to come together as a team, and we built lists together. We came up with a strategy, and we weren't playing against each other. We were playing for each other. It was a lot of fun. If you have a squadron of people. The 6 guys who want to play together. I think first thing is you're going to become a better X-Wing player, I think, at the end, because we had to think about X-Wing in a lot of different ways. It's meta, but not, because you have to think. One of the big rules was that in a single round, you had to have, since you have 6 players, 2 players each faction, and unique cards could not be used in the same faction. So, for instance, if one Imperial player had Palpatine in their list in round 1, the second player could not.
Oh, it was more than just faction. It was the whole team.
Oh, so the whole team, yeah.
One person could be swarm leader, and that is it out
right.
of all 6 teams.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those that does reach across the whole thing.
And I don't know if you've played Rebels in the past few years.
No.
But they don't have many options.
No. Yeah, you guys were kind of scrounging for pilots, like, all right, what can I get you for R2-D2? R5-P9, can we trade? You know, it was pretty funny trying to see you guys do it and get it together. But, yeah, I think if you are interested in doing that, reach out to Ryan Fleming. He's kind of the leader of the Outrider Cup, and I would highly suggest participating in it. The support, prize support was great. We all got these really cool maneuver trays that fit all your maneuver templates and the range rulers. They gave away raffle prizes for like ships. We got cool like mirrored epic what do you call those things? Maneuver templates and mirrored Outrider 5 range 1 things. It was everybody got a prize. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. We got the third place ones. It says third place on there. And the hope is that we can get that Darth Vader trophy here in the future.
Oh, we will.
So I think the next Outrider is in 6 months from now, sometime in June or July. We're trying to figure out if Gold Squadron can make it to that one. But I think at minimum, we make it at least like a yearly thing, at least once a year, and maybe get some... maybe some other people want to participate in the 6 months from now.
So what can you tell us about the videos you filmed there?
I did film if you go to YouTube.com and look up Gold Squadron Podcast, I'm going to be putting up a video of Darwin Schaefer versus his opponent out of La Trobe. Now, I did make one mistake when I was recording because Darwin's name and his opponent's name are on the top of all three videos. I realized that today as I was editing them. So I have to figure out if it's usable. But yeah, and then we have a couple other matches there. We have Darwin again, I think. We had Darwin on there twice. Once playing Epic. Now who? I forget what the second and third game were. Him versus Brobots. And then
the third game is Ron with the Gold Squadron Special.
Yes.
Scum team.
Yeah. Who was? I know he won that game. I don't know. Do you know what kind of list he played against? Do you remember? Defenders. I know he likes playing defenders with that list. He just eats it alive. It's great. And the Gold Squadron Special, for those of you who don't know, it was very popular last store championship season. But the idea is you have a Trandoshan Slaver with Bossk and Gunner. And then we used to have Tactician on there, but we changed it out for Zuckuss because Zuckuss is amazing. Then you have a TLT Y-Wing, and this is where some people change it out. You can either add another TLT Y-Wing or have Torkomux in there. I prefer the Torkomux version because it's hilarious taking somebody's PS9 and dropping it to zero and then just beating the crap out of it. And then you have a little Z95 for blocking. It's a good list.
And then if you're looking for more videos, the Raven Squadron, who are the hosts for the event, they've got a YouTube channel. If you look up either Raven Squadron or Outrider Cup 5, they've got their three matches. And actually in round two and round three feature players from Gold Squadron.
Yep.
Round two is Francois. And round three is your own host.
Yep. I lost. I almost won.
Spoiler alert. It was a very exciting game.
It was a great game. I got to fly the TIE Striker. Duchess in this format was a lot of fun because, like, all right, these things suck against turrets. I just don't want to play a turret. And we found a Brobot list, and I went against it. It was a great game. So watch that one. You can see some cool shenanigans that the TIE Striker can do, and you see some really good Brobots play.
Perhaps the archives are incomplete.
If an item does not appear in our records, it does not exist.
So we have entered the archives. Alex, what do you got for us today?
Today we're going to be going over a Trandoshan bounty hunter named Bossk. All right, let me preface this with a quick history between the races of the Trandoshans and the Wookiees. They're very close to each other in the galaxy, and they became enemies through history, and Trandoshans usually hunt Wookiees for sport, and they relish in it. And Bossk actually took quite a liking to actually collecting the skins of Wookiees.
Is that why on the Bossk crew card he's holding a Wookiee skin?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
which is always why I laughed when I would see a Bossk and a regular Art Gunner card. because well, that would never happen.
That's our Gold Squadron special, man, right there.
Yep. So Bossk in his native language of Dosh actually means devours his prey, which is kind of interesting because like most lizards or reptiles on Earth, they're born out of a clutch of eggs, and he actually hatched first and ate the rest of his unhatched siblings. So that's a pretty hardcore way of being born.
What a beast.
So he started from an early age of hunting Wookiees. His father was actually the head of the Bounty Hunters Guild. So he started him on, you know, learning to hunt and stuff like that pretty early. He started making a name for himself through the Clone Wars. There's a whole, I think it's like 6-episode arc of Bounty Hunters with Bossk and young Boba. They start making a reputation for themselves. And he just pretty much quickly becomes one of the most feared and respected bounty hunters in the galaxy in a very short amount of time. And he starts working for Jabba mainly. And during this time, his father's health starts to fail and he becomes just old. So Boss took it upon himself to see it that the Bounty Hunters Guild was basically his inheritance. So he started plotting a way to take over the guild. But it really kind of made a civil war of the guild, and the guild itself just kind of split in half and was really broken at that point. So he kind of tore it down instead of taking it over. A little bit after the Battle of Yavin, Jabba found out that Luke was friends with Han, and Jabba was still going after Han, so Luke was heading back to Tatooine for a funeral for Biggs after the Battle of Yavin, and Bossk tried to capture Skywalker and took on that bounty. And Bossk didn't really care too much about capturing Skywalker himself, but he knew that since Skywalker was friends with Han Solo, and Han Solo is always walking around with a Wookiee, he pretty much took any chance he could to maybe get a hold of Chewbacca. Chewbacca was always that one bounty he could never quite catch.
So a quick question. With him trying to take over the Bounty Hunters Guild, did that happen before or after Darth Vader had the Bounty Hunters come to his ship?
Before.
That was before that.
Yeah, okay. That was before the Battle of Yavin. So kind of when the Empire was coming to power, that period. So even though on Tatooine, Bossk wasn't able to catch Skywalker or catch a glimpse of Chewbacca, Bossk was summoned by Vader as part of the group of bounty hunters to capture Han Solo, so he jumped at the chance for that one. As we all know, he was not the one to capture him, and that was actually Boba Fett. So after that, Bossk did his regular bounty hunting things, and during the course of that, he actually killed Hal Horn, who was actually the father of Corran Horn.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So there's a more rivalry there, too. And so later on, Bossk was at Jabba's palace when Luke and Leia and Lando tried to free Han. He was also on the pleasure barge, too. And he took great happiness when he saw Boba fall into the Sarlacc pit. Over time, even though he worked with Boba when they were both younger, they didn't necessarily come up with a friendly rivalry. They became more enemies than friends, but would always take a job together if it meant that they would get paid.
So they weren't really bros. They were just kind of like business associates when convenient.
Yep, and enemies when not. And then later on, after the Battle of Endor, Bossk decided to retire from professional hunting. And he later ran into Han at a space station during what was the Yuuzhan Vong War. And during this war, Chewbacca dies a ridiculous death that I won't get into. But Bossk definitely took the chance to rub it in Han's face, to which Han broke his snout, and they both ended up in jail. But with Han's connections, he got out quite easily, where Bossk was left in there
to rot and die.
the station actually came under attack, and Bossk made his way into an escape pod and got his way out. But yeah, that's where he leaves off.
That's cool. So I guess currently that's what we have in like Legends, right? But we haven't really got a canon story yet for him.
No, after pretty much after Vader summons him to the Executor, there's not much canon wise. Like I said, for the archives, we're going to be dipping into Legends and canon.
I like it. I mean, we don't have anything else right now, so that's yep. Legends is what we got for that character. That's really interesting. He's ruthless. I like how that fits with his pilot ability on his card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get that crit through, you get to cancel the crit and turn it into two hits. That's pretty brutal when you can get that off. Cool. Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, no problem.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted? What have you done with those plans?
Bear with me. There are a lot of events happening as we're moving into competitive season for X-Wing especially. I would say our first competitive event that's really cool that's happening actually Alex Merring, our historian, is going to be marshaling is the Dragonfall Escalation Tournament at the College of DuPage on January 29th. If you've never played Escalation before, it's actually quite a fun format. It basically requires you to bring a 60-point list where you will add 30 points to that list each round, and you'll play a total of 4 rounds. So you'll go 60, 90, 120, 150. And each round gets longer. And it's just a different way to play X-Wing, and it's quite fun. So come out to that event. I think you enjoy it. I know for a fact Dion is looking forward for this event.
Yeah, I really like it. I'm going to try really hard to make it. There's a couple of work things I have on that day. But I know I love Escalation. I've only done it once, and I've been chomping at the bit to get another one in.
I'm really going to try to make this too. My only issue is this might conflict with an event at the store that I can't really get out of. We have in the store the same day is our Star Wars Destiny monthly event. It's the first one that we're running, so I don't think I'll be able to get out of that. And Destiny has been huge. If you guys haven't heard about the game, it's phenomenal. Pick it up if you could find it, but it's kind of the new hotness. I think we have 24 people in our Destiny League already, and it's the first one we've ever doing. So, I mean, that's right up there with what we do for X-Wing. So then in February, the first weekend of February, 4th and 5th, is our Chicago Regional Championship. If you were on the interwebs today while we were recording this episode, you will see that Paul LaRue is coming to our event. He will be bringing a bunch of cards and a portfolio for him for people to pick up off of him. You can get his autograph, any cards that you want. But also, if you participate in the event, you'll get the Gold Squadron exclusive promo, which depicts the Gold Squadron Y-Wings ion torpedoing the Star Destroyer, just like you saw in Rogue One. Were you happy with that art, Dio?
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Paul really outdone himself this time. I was completely blown away when I saw it. I love like the little smoke trails from the torpedoes, just like in the movie. It's incredible.
As soon as we posted that, I immediately got 10 or 12 messages like, oh my God, are you giving those away for the podcast or stuff like that? And, this is only this specific card is only for the regional.
Now, I will say that this card is only for the regional, but it doesn't mean, Dion, that I won't give you a couple to do for some raffles.
Right.
So if you stay tuned, we'll have some raffles, and I'm going to give Dion a couple copies of this card. But other than that, that's the only way you're going to get it. You're going to come to our regional. You can get it at the raffle. It's never going to be part of the Patreon support, unfortunately.
It will not be.
The only other events we have is all of our monthly events coming up in February. We won't have a monthly X-Wing because it falls on the same date as the regional. But we'll have our monthly Imperial Assault on the second Sunday that month. Star Wars the Card Game on the third Sunday. And on the fourth Sunday, we'll have Star Wars Destiny. We also have weekly leagues for Armada, X-Wing, and Star Wars Destiny. X-Wing League is every Wednesday night. Armada League is every Tuesday night. And Destiny League is every Friday night.
Yeah, come out, play. Doesn't matter what your skill level is. We'd love to teach you the game. And, you know, let's play Star Wars together.
100% agreed. I mean, the best thing about having this group is always having someone to play a game of Star Wars with.
All right, well, I want to thank all of our listeners and everyone who's liked our Facebook so far. Right now, as of today, we are at 1,165 likes. That's amazeballs. my goal for the end of the year is to try to get to 2,000. And I want everybody to help us get us there. So please like our Facebook page at Gold Squadron Podcast. If you want to contact us, send us a message through Facebook, or you can send us an email, goldsquadronpodcast@gmail.com. You can join our local playgroup if you're in the Chicagoland area. Just look up Pastime Star Wars on Facebook. And if you have a moment, we really appreciate if you could review our podcast through iTunes or whatever service you use to listening to us. Ron, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, as always.
Andrea, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Gold Squadron, out.